Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to your favorite cousins and your new favorite podcast. Join the cousins as we discuss trending topics, current events, dating, relationships, and family. New episodes are recorded and published weekly. You can listen using Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Make sure to rate and subscribe. Welcome to the party.
Back, everybody, to your favorite cousins, and this is your cousin Sean here, and we have a little light today on the cousins, but we have cousin Lee and cousin Idea on the line tonight, so we're gonna have a little discussion about let's just jump right into it. So we're gonna discuss this Jussie Smollett situation. That has been like huge topic this past week. So if you don't know, Jussie Smollett was basically the prosecutors dismissed the charges against Smollett, and of course that created such backlash from this infuriated Chicago's mayor, the police chief, so many opinions flying around about these charges being dismissed. So what did you guys think of that when you saw it?
I still
want to know what happened.
Yes.
Like, I'm still on the fence, because it's like a part of me is just like, okay, maybe somebody really did do this to him. But then a part of me is just like, okay, did he really set this up? Because it's just like, it's too many unanswered questions. Like, it's too much, like, ooh, the charges got dropped, but why all of a sudden did the charges get dropped if you guys had all this evidence against him that he really did set this up? I don't get it. Like, I'm confused. I'm all the way, like, I'm on a fence about it.
Well, I think the issue is that why it's drawing such backlash is because the police made it seem like there was just such this extravagant case closed, open shut case build up against him. And then you get to the charging and it's like, oh, we have to throw it out. So one thing I think that the police did wrong throughout this entire investigation is they released too many details too soon as they were going through the investigation. Instead of going through the investigation, doing it like you needed to, compiling all of your evidence for prosecution, every single step of the way, there's this big conversation happening in the public. So I think that this was already tried in the court of public opinion before it even got to this point. And I think that they compromised their own case. To me, you just need to take your L and go on, because I feel like ultimately you did it to yourself.
Right.
That's my thought. There was so much time and resources put into trying to prosecute him. And it's like, okay, if you have all these things built up against him and then you get into court and now all of a sudden, abruptly, all the charges are dropped. The first thing I said to myself when I said that, oh, the prosecution didn't knowingly go in there knowing that they were, they didn't go in there with the intention of making a deal with him. They went in there with the intention of dropping that case. And the reason they did that is because they didn't have what they needed to prosecute it. And that's just the bottom line. I don't care what it looks like he did, what you think he did. And ultimately, they still believe, the prosecutors still believe that he concocted the assault.
Right.
They didn't give any explanation why, only that they abandoned the case. And in situations like that, when you have a prosecutor who abandons a case, that means that they null-prossed it. And when you null-prosecute a case, that means the prosecution abandoned it. And the reason why they abandoned it is because they didn't have enough to prosecute it. any avenue that they had to convict this person, they did not have it. They did not have the burden of proof to convict him. That's just my perspective. I feel like you went through all of this to come to this point, and everything that you came up with went to trash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, completely. I just think it was. I mean, I think you're right that the public opinion was the one that we were like, oh, he's guilty, he's guilty, or people were like, he's guilty, whatever, whatever. But we didn't know what was really behind the scenes, what all the evidence was that they really did or did not have. And I think they, you know, they kind of, you know, got ahead of their cart, you know.
Yeah, they definitely put the cart in front of the horse, because you come out and you said that, first of all, let's go back. Let's go back to the beginning. I was even confused, even after the story dropped. Okay, you know, when the first dropped, everybody, oh my God, this happened to Jesse. We can't believe this is happening. And then a day later, it's like, oh no, he put this together. This was orchestrated by him. And it's like, oh my God, I can't believe he did that. And then next thing you know, he's being charged with 16 felony counts related to making a false report.
Right.
Where did the 16 counts come from? Exactly. Like, 16 counts of what? Like, what were the charges, really? Because if you're making a false report, and there was only two other people besides yourself involved, allegedly making a false report, where did the 16 counts, felony counts, come from? And to me, from the very beginning, although the public was very, and social media was very divided on where they stood with him, whether he did it or not, I think that ultimately Chicago PD put way too many resources, way too much energy into trying to build something from nothing. And I honestly think that they did it because he's famous and because he's Black.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say they put so many resources into it, mostly because he's a celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just like, okay, he's a celebrity, he has a famous face, a famous name, so we gotta have 29 detectives on it, 3 lieutenants, 5 sergeants, you know, the captain's gotta be involved, all these people gotta be involved with trying to figure out, you know, what happened and all this other kind of stuff. But I think the question that I'm mostly, you know, trying to get past is why. Like, you know, if this is true, if this was, you know, if he really didn't make this up, then why was he specifically targeted? You know, was he specifically targeted because he's a Black gay man, as well as a celebrity?
And who, Nikki had made a point in saying that he's a fall guy for something.
Right.
But we don't know what that something is. And I wish she was able to call tonight because she could explain it better. But she was saying that she believes that he's a fall guy for something, because it just doesn't make any sense. Even along the way, like I said, even through their initial investigation, to bring him up on charges, every little piece of information they got came out in the media.
Right.
Every day it was something. And right, it went from he knows these two guys, to he orchestrated it, to his relationship with them. What was he supposed to be doing? Like, they were supposed to be doing some training or right, something. Like, they're supposed to be trainers.
Yeah. Or had to lose weight or something.
Yeah, I don't know. Just the whole scene is just really funky. If you really ask, I mean, even with these two guys, I don't know if I really believe that he went to them and said, "Hey, I need y'all to come over here and attack me so I can make. I just don't, that just doesn't make sense to me. And that's the way they're trying to make it seem. They're trying to make it seem like he went over there to these two guys and said, hey, I need you to attack me. I need you to beat me up so I can go and tell the people that I was attacked by two white people and cause up this stir and act like I'm the victim of a hate crime. Do you really think that was the conversation? How do you
you never know how far people will go.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, what's the why? That just doesn't make sense to me. You know what does make more sense to me? It would have made more sense to me if they came out and said that this was a lover's quarrel. It would have made more sense to me if you told me that Jesse was talking to one of their boyfriends or something and they got together and they had words and they jumped.
Right.
They jumped them coming out the subway.
I'm trying not to get off the subject, but I was watching this documentary about Dede Blanchard, who had like the first known case of Munchausen syndrome, and they never like they still really don't understand why women put their children through this. Like, they literally make their children sick to get attention, and they don't understand why. Why would you sit there and deliberately poison your own child? And it could literally be fatal. Some of the stuff that they put their children through. This is your own child. You gave birth to this child just so you can get attention. And sometimes you're not even getting the attention. The child is getting the attention. The child is the one who everybody has sympathy for. And then the mother ends up being the one in the psych ward. And they're still trying to study this syndrome. So it's just like, you never know what is actually going through somebody's mind when they're saying to somebody, hey, and I'm not saying he did, but if they say to somebody, hey, you know, I want to concoct this little scheme. I want to try, I'm going to be outside Subway, I'm going to order me, a little turkey on whole wheat with a little bit of mayo, As soon as I come out, I want you to slide me real fast. Like, you never know what's going through somebody's head when they're saying that. You don't always know the why.
That's true, but I mean, even this is somebody who has no prior history of doing anything remotely close to any type of behavior that would even insinuate that he would do anything like this. Again, I wasn't there, I don't know, but you're right. I don't put anything past anybody. So he very well could have did it, but on this show we say alleged. So he allegedly could have done this. But the thing that has been so very interesting to me is, again, they went to court and they walk out and the charges are dismissed.
Right.
And ultimately, that's what sticks in my mind. Now, they're saying, Jussie Smollett's attorney say that his record was wiped clean of the 16 felony counts related to making a false report. They said that the actor also agreed to do community service, and he also insisted that he's been consistent and truthful on every single level since day one. A spokesperson for the prosecutor's office said that the dismissal came after reviewing all of the facts and circumstances of the case, and it's a just disposition and appropriate resolution, but not an exoneration. So again, that indicates to me that either this indicates to me that this is a situation where they just did not, where the Chicago PD did not provide what they needed to provide for the prosecution to meet the burden of proof to really prosecute him. This was such a high profile case. I don't believe that was the prosecutor's intention. For as much as the mayor and the police chief were pushing this issue, I don't believe that they willingly went in with the intention to drop the case. Right. They really didn't have anything. They didn't have anything. And that's ultimately what ended it for me. I was like, dag, if he goes to court and he's found guilty or they have enough evidence against him to actually take this thing to trial, then, I mean, that says something. But, I mean, for you to go in there and come out like, hey, we ain't got nothing. We're going to dismiss it. You agree to this and we'll agree to this and we're just going to wash our hands and we're going to call it a wash. And that's ultimately what happened. I feel like that should have been it. But oh no, we know that wasn't it because shortly thereafter, here comes the mayor. What's his name? Rahm Emanuel?
Yeah.
Here comes the mayor. Here comes the police chief. And everybody got something to say. Now, this mayor. Now, you know, I really don't want to get, I really try not to get, I really hate it when I see, especially other black people run another black person in the ground. And I really felt some kind of way about that police superintendent, Eddie Johnson, making the comments that he made. Because, no, he wasn't exonerated, but he did go through the court process. And based on the court process, this case was dismissed and he was released to go on about his business. I feel like they should do the same. What did you guys think about the comments that the mayor and the police chief had this made after this was?
You know, they're not, they just do their job. They do the arresting. I don't know if the police chief has a law degree. He just got arrested, and you can get arrested for the wrong thing. So they don't always know what they're doing.
So that, and I can attest to that.
Right, if you're not a lawyer or a judge, then stay in your lane. If he doesn't have a JD behind his name, in addition to what's in front of his name, if he's chief, whatever, whatever, JD, then maybe we can have a conversation. But you're not. So what are you to say if you were not there for all of the legal proceedings that justice was not served in this situation? Right. I mean, it's different than any other court case where the result is not always what we want, but if they go through the avenues that are set forth, then what can you say? What can you do? You could be mad, but why is this a whitewashing of justice because you didn't get what you wanted? It really sounded to me like they were having a public tantrum, like they were mad.
Absolutely. Because you know what I think? I think you know what? That has something partially to do with R. Kelly. Because it's like they need to have something high profile in Chicago right now for the police to show that the police are quote unquote doing their job.
Oh, but let's not get on how Chicago's not doing their job.
So it's right. Just like, okay, you know, they're highly upset right now,
right,
that they could get something high profile.
Yep.
So
they wanted to nab a criminal because they can never get them.
Exactly.
I mean, unfortunately, yeah. Chicago is considered a super duper dangerous place, and exactly. Always,
you know, every time they put R. Kelly in jail, R. Kelly gets out. Yeah, they didn't put R. Kelly in jail twice, and he's out within a week.
So they wanted to do something right, and they didn't do it.
Yeah, so now they got another high-profile celebrity. They got him in jail. Oh, nope, sorry. We didn't get him in jail. We thought we had him, but we didn't. Nope, okay, just take it on the chin. And like you said, take that L, call it a loss, call it what it is.
Exactly. The mayor, Rahm Emanuel, he called the deal that the prosecutors made with Jesse a whitewash of justice, and he lashed out at Jesse he basically said that he feels that Jesse dragged the city's reputation through the mud as a quest to advance his career. And he's
the
like,
city dragged their name through the mud. What you mean?
Exactly. Let's not get on, you know, and this is why I have a problem with this. Chicago is we all see it every summer, all year long. Chicago is notorious for murder, okay? Mm-hmm. There are so many unsolved murders that have been happening, that continue to happen, that have happened since this case has been going on. You have dedicated all your resources to track down someone that's told a lie, allegedly, instead of solving real crime and real cases in Chicago. That is what I have an issue with. There are so many Black people that have been murdered. There are so many children that have been murdered. And you lend all of your resources to run behind someone who allegedly lied. So it's like, is there any decency in you? Quiet as it's kept. The mayor and the police chief need to be fired. That's just my point. They both need to be fired. You have a responsibility to your constituents, to your community, to your city, and you have a bigger issue in Chicago
than Jesse Smollett.
You have a bigger issue. You have unsolved murders. You got people running around sexually assaulting little girls. You have so many things going on in Chicago. Jesse, for real, I never cared about this story, to be honest with you. Even when it came out, and when it first happened, I was like, dang, that's messed up. They ain't have to do him like that. But then when it started unfolding, they're like, oh, he lied. I'm like, well, so? People lie every day. You know how many people cry wolf?
Right. I saw a meme today, and it was a young lady who filed a false police report against three Black men and was never charged. They never came back out her. There was no anything about the situation. So
tons of people that lie. Chris Rock was making jokes about it on the NAACP Awards.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was like, well, you know, I forgot the exact words that he used, but he was like, oh, you know, well, now we just gonna call that pulling a justice.
Okay.
So, it's like, alright. So, it's just, and I think Jesse was supposed to be at the NAACP Awards.
Well, I can understand why he probably wasn't there, but, you know, like I said, there's so many other things going on in Chicago, and I really think that it is unfortunate that they put so much energy and time into continuously tearing down this guy because he lied. Like I said, people lie every day, and people lie to the police, and people make false reports. If he did do this, I'm not saying that it's right. All I'm saying is that man had his day in court, and they dismissed it. So why are we still talking about it? The next thing that came up after that is now they want him to pay restitution to the city of Chicago. They basically want Jesse to pay back the money and time and resources that they spent investigating. I found that so laughable. Like, you spent all your resources. You realize you use your manpower, overtime hours, all these resources to investigate him. You didn't provide the burden of proof, and now you want the suspect to pay your city back for the resources that you lost when you should have been investigating other things in your city.
Right.
I found that laughable.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is, everybody I know that's getting food stamps and getting Section 8 when they shouldn't be, I'm going to go make a claim, or I'm going to go file some reports, and then I'm going to go down and I'm going to go get my money back from the city of Philadelphia, because that money comes out of my taxes. really? Why do we have to pay you? Why does he have to pay you for y'all doing y'all job? Y'all were doing y'all, this is y'all job. Your job is to investigate.
Right.
A detective's job is to investigate. A cop's job is to
a private investigation. He didn't pay them, you know. So, I don't even know. I'm speechless.
I'm speechless too, because then the next thing
out here is fraud in the system.
Right. Absolutely. But it gets even better, because then the next thing is, now Trump wants to open, he wants the FBI and DOJ to open up a review of the case. Now
Trump needs to have several seats.
If that is not a pure
abuse of power
and attacking someone because they are black. And I'm saying it. Yes, I'm saying it. Because at the end of the day, if he was not, this would not have been an issue. They would have came on the news, case dismissed, and they would have went on about their day, went on about their life. This has gone from the mayor making comments, the police chief making comments, Trump making comments. They want them to pay the city back in restitution. Now they want to waste our federal tax resources and monies to investigate the situation. I'm like, are
they been wanting to waste the our money to build a freaking wall? They shut down the freaking government over building a wall. When all they're gonna do is get in a boat or get in a floaty and find another way around the wall.
They were thinking about building a wall. They was finding tunnels underneath.
Exactly.
They are going to get here.
Exactly. El Chapo escaped out of prison with a plastic spoon. Okay? So stop. Like, you're worried about a wall. We can't even keep El Chapo in prison. He escaped with a plastic spoon.
That is funny.
Dug a whole Harriet Tubman tunnel and got out of prison. No.
This whole situation is just so bizarre. Like, I just couldn't believe how after, I, like I said, I think the thing that just annoyed me the most was the fact that he had his day in court, they dismissed it, and it's still an issue. And that's the thing, that's what made me start paying attention. That's what made me start having feelings about it. Because like I said, initially, I didn't care. I was like, well, so what? People lie every day. Like, people lie. I mean, again, not saying that it's right or that he should have done it, because he shouldn't have if he did do it. But ultimately, it's like, come on. Now you just
don't need to sit down and worry about which Burger King he gonna call for whoever win the NAACP or the NCAA. I'm sorry, that's who he need to worry about. He worried about Justice Smollett. All right, you didn't call Wendy's for the football winners. Okay, so you probably gonna call Burger King for whoever win the NCAA. Okay, stop worrying about Justice Smollett. You feeding people Wendy's? They can't even get a steak.
They got McDonald's. They didn't even get Wendy's. They got McDonald's.
Yeah, they can't even get Steak'ems. You giving them Wendy's?
McDonald's.
You giving them McDonald's? They getting Big Macs and Filet Fishes? They getting 2 all beef patties, special sauce, and cheese, pickles, onions on the sesame seed bun. For real? And 10 piece and 20 piece nuggets? Did you make sure they had some sweet and sour sauce? And barbecue sauce? No. Get out my face. Go make sure you put your order in Burger King now, because March Madness has started. Don't worry about Justin.
The government is over now. That's because, you know.
He need to be on his way to Burger King. He don't need to worry about nothing, because you don't like to put your staff to work.
It's a pissing contest. He's got to prove.
Yeah.
You know, okay, well, he's losing because Obama was better. That's why Obama is still my president. He's just on vacation right now. Okay. I'm waiting for him to come back from vacation. You over here taking a 4-year hiatus.
Bring you in for a minute because you don't
Obama is still my president. He on vacation. I told him he could take some time off, take as much time as you need. You need to take a 4-year hiatus. Go ahead and do that. I know you're tired. You're getting some grays in your hair. You know, Malia, she got to go to school. I told her, go ahead and get Malia in school. Give her some time to get settled over there in Harvard and everything. Go ahead and do that. He needed to relax for like 4 years. He gonna come back.
You need to relax because you don't went like
right.
Like we,
I hate when they interrupt my shows and he coming on the TV and my whole screen turn orange. No, I hate looking at him on my TV. Don't come on my TV, sir. I don't want to see you on my TV. Don't come on my TV. Worry about these gas prices. Make sure these gas prices is below GPA level. Okay.
They went back up 12 cents.
No. Put these gas prices below standard on GPA level, okay? Put these gas prices at Aunt Becky kids levels, okay?
Uh-oh.
Make sure they below standard, okay?
Well, all right, on that note, we're going to shift gears here. She got real hot just bringing up Trump. So we're going to keep an eye on this. Situation. Like I said, there's been so many directions this has gone. Hopefully they can let this just wash by the wayside, take that L and leave Jesse alone. We're gonna move on to shift gears a little bit. It's another story that was in the news this past week that was really, really, really sad, and I have some feelings about this also. It's about this this little girl, fifth grade, South Carolina girl named Renia Wright, who dies after a classroom fight. Like, I could not believe this. So this young lady lost her life, Renia Wright. She was 10 years old. She died Wednesday in South Carolina. She had been in the hospital for like 2 days after a fight on that Monday in her classroom at her elementary school. They said the assault is under investigation, and, you know, like, last I read about this story, you know, such a sad situation, and last I read about this story, they said they didn't even know if there were going to be any criminal charges issued in this case. And this brings up the point to talk about bullying. I just want to put this out there to anybody that's listening. If you have a child that is the bully. Some of you have kids who are the bully. Mm-hmm. If your kid is a bully, if your kid is a butthole, I really need you to recognize that kid. I'm serious, because some people really don't recognize that their kid has a problem until it's too late. Now, I'm sure that whatever happened between with these children, and it's just a sad situation all the way around. A 10-year-old baby lost her life, and another child has been identified as, you know, someone as the cause, you know. So I feel for everyone around in this situation, but I really just don't believe that a lot of times in these situations that they just happen out of the blue. Most times they don't just happen out of the blue. And usually if there is an issue that's going on that people kind of push to the side until something serious happens. And in this case, you know, this girl gets in a fight and she has to be airlifted to the hospital, and 2 days later she's gone.
Right. She was on machines for that whole 2 days. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And it was too much. That was just too much for me, because the only thing that I could think is, if how do you send your kid to school and they don't come home?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, how? It's just beyond me. But this is just a classic example of how serious bullying is and how mean children are. And some of these parents know that their kids are the bully. They know that their kid is the antagonist in a situation, and they don't do anything about it. So what were your thoughts on this when you read the story?
Fortunately, it's like a bigger problem. Sometimes the parents don't do anything about it because the school doesn't alert them. So one of the little girls that was in my former Girl Scout troop was getting bullied by a girl in a group text message. So they had started a group text message for anybody that was out of school. Hey, you guys, tell me what was for homework. So one of the girls got on the text and would pick with a girl for a week. She would just be mean to her via text and then move on to another girl. So finally, they went to the principal, and the principal was like, well, it doesn't happen on school grounds. You need to go to the police. They have a cyberbullying unit. So they had the police involved, and there was nothing physical about it yet. But then now you get the authorities, and to some people that's scary because you don't really want to call the police on a 10-year-old.
I will absolutely call the police on a 10-year-old, an 8-year-old. I will call the police on a 5-year-old if they are terrorists.
Sad that the school is like, oh, well, it didn't happen here, so it's nothing we could do. No, she's a student, and we have digital proof that she is saying these things. You need to call her mom, her grandma, or whatever in the office. And, you know, I realize people have all these bad situations, but some of the other parents' response was, well, you know, she's an orphan and she's raised by her grandparents, so, you know, she's got it rough.
So they give her a license?
Yes, yes. That's exactly what they use it. They use that as a crutch to give her license to be mean because she's hurting. It's just too much. I don't think people really do. There's no protocol for it. You know, there's no protocol for what do we really do? What do we do? What were the steps that need to be taken so that there's no fight, that nobody's getting jumped, that nobody's, you know, being hurt by these knucklehead 10-year-olds?
Yeah, I know it's a hard thing to keep track of what every single student is going through, and I know it's hard to kind of keep track because the next part is a lot of these kids don't say anything because they don't want to be a snitch either. So sometimes you just have kids that are going through something and they don't say anything. But I do agree with you on the point that a lot of times, you know, I think some administrators and some schools, they do take a very passive approach to bullying, and they shouldn't, because it is serious. You have children that are taking their lives,
right,
suicide because they're being bullied.
They don't want to go to school. Like, it's just a whole lot of psychological damage that you're doing if we're not taking the proper steps to protect these kids, you know?
There was a story also this past week here in D.C. area and Northern Virginia. There was a father who was on the news because he got banned from his daughter's school because he was demanding answers from the school about why his daughter was being bullied. And their response was to ban him from the school because he's like, how many times do I have to come here and say something to you about my child being bullied and you don't do anything? So his daughter, she was in the second, I think he said the bullying started when she was in the second grade, but this same little boy, she's been bullied for the past 2 or 3 years by the same child. He said, it started when she was in the second grade. This kid was bullying her. When they got to third grade, they separated them. So they weren't in the same class. So now they're in the fourth grade and they're back in the same class. And here comes this little terrorist again, bullying, and his daughter has I forget what it's called. It's like a juvenile arthritis.
Okay,
but it makes it difficult for her to keep up with the other kids. So she, you know, she has some special needs here, and he's like, you know, she has issues being mobile. Sometimes she has a limp. It just depends on how she's feeling. But sometimes she needs assistance. Sometimes she can't keep up with the other kids. And again, here comes this kid bullying his daughter. So at recess, the boy came up to his daughter with a stick, hit her with a stick, and choked her from behind, sending her to the hospital. So he has of his daughter with these bruises, and he goes to the school again like, hey, what are you guys going to do? This kid is still bullying my daughter. And their response was to ban him from the premises because he got in a heated argument with the principal and the administrators at the school. So now all of a sudden they feel threatened by the dad because he's demanding answers as to why they're not protecting his daughter at school.
Like the teachers didn't know. It's just so, exactly. It's so many moving parts that like the wheels are falling off on this. This part, like, so the teacher didn't say anything, he didn't go to the principal, he doesn't get suspended, he doesn't get expelled, what is missing? How do we protect our children? I mean, we have to protect our kids from so much. You gotta,
I don't know,
crazy people on the internet, you gotta protect them off of social media, now you gotta physically protect them from the other little terrorists in their classroom. Like, what?
The thing that bothered me about this story is that this has been going on for years. And he says something to y'all. It's like, it's a constant, hey, what are you going to do about this kid? You know that my child has special needs. I'm telling you that he's picking on my daughter. So you're not going to be satisfied until somebody comes up here and drop kicks that kid across the playground. Because if it was my kid, that's where I would be at. I'm not going to keep talking to you. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going to keep coming up here trying to be civilized and have a conversation with you and tell you that, hey, you need to do something about this kid or get his parents in here so we can discuss him putting his hands on my daughter. And he's a little boy. And she's a girl.
Right.
So where are his parents at? It's like, you're not going to come in here and put your hands continuously. Bully and put your hands on my child. Nobody calls his parents. Nobody's doing anything. Oh, so you want me to handle it? Okay, right. That's fine. So I come up here during recess or during lunch, and I go ahead and grab him by the back of the collar of his shirt and drop kick his tail like a ball all the way on the other side of the schoolyard and see if he touched my kid again. But see, then I'm going to jail.
Right.
You know, so it's like, what do you do? And even in this situation, a sad situation with this little girl in South Carolina, like I can't imagine what her mother is feeling, especially knowing that there may not even be any consequences. There may not be any consequences. Nobody will be held accountable for her child's death. Like, how do you handle that?
I don't even know.
It's just too much. So, you know, I just encourage any parent, if your child has been, talk to your kids. Pay attention to your kids. If you notice behavioral changes, if you notice anything different about how they're managing during their day at school, how they're functioning, ask questions. Don't be afraid to go up to the school. Don't be afraid to tell these people at the school that you need to speak to these kids' parents. Like, if you need to, like, for real, if you got to go up to the school and let all them kids know that you crazy, they could do what they want to do, but they better not mess with this one. Yeah, do that. But please pay attention. Because I feel so strongly about bullying, because believe it or not, when I was a child, I used to get bullied a lot.
Yeah.
And my mother, like my mom would even tell me, she's like, she would get so upset because I would just let other kids just do things to me. And she said that she would be in those kids' faces. And she's like, I couldn't put my hands on them. She's like, but I would put my finger in their face, but like, don't touch her. Don't do this to her. You're not going to do that. Like, I'm going to get your mother. You know, they knew that my mom was the lady that would be marching out on the playground to put her finger in your face. Like, don't, you can mess with all the kids in here, but don't mess with this one. This one's mine. Don't mess with this one.
There was this girl that picked on me relentlessly in like the fifth grade before I switched schools. And my friend's sisters were waiting for her one day.
Mm.
They were like, you touch her one more time. They were like, this is our little brother's friend. And I was minding my business. I can't even recall who the chick was and she just was bigger than me. She just constantly pushing on me, whatever.
And I bet you she was ugly too, wasn't she?
Probably. And his sisters, they were like, in the fifth grade, I swear they were like six feet tall. So they were standing at the back of the bus, and I was standing in the back of the bus, and she was walking behind me, and they let me go through them, and they took, you know, took my spot, switched spots with me, and they got in her face, and they were like, if you ever lay your hands on her, you're going to have to mess with us. And she stopped.
That's crazy.
Last time anybody ever picked on me at that school. And then I switched schools like 2 years later. But like, that's what it took for somebody else to threaten her. Like, the bully had to be bullied for her to leave me alone.
Yeah. And I know, like, for me, my biggest bullying for me didn't happen so much for me at school than it did in my neighborhood where, when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And I remember we lived in this apartment complex, and there was this playground outside of, right outside the back patio of the apartment that we lived in. And those kids, I think I probably had like maybe two friends. I had two friends that lived in that whole complex, but the rest of those kids, they were so mean to me. And there's this one girl in particular, and I can't remember her last name. All I remember her name was Kiana. I remember her name. And Kiana had a brother and a sister. And I think her sister was like about 15 or 16. And her brother had to be maybe about 14, 13 or 14, something like that. But they were the head honchos of the bullying squad. And they would get all the other kids started on picking on me, even so much so that I wouldn't even go outside if I saw them outside playing. I would wait till they got called in for dinner to go outside and play. But I remember one particular day, Kiana and her brother and her sister were out there picking on me so bad. I wasn't even bothering them. They were bullying me so bad. I remember running in the house, crying, running straight to my room. I ran through the back door, ran to my room, slammed the door, and my dad was home. And my dad came in my room. He was like, "What's wrong with you?" And, you know, I told him I was crying, and I was like, they're picking on me. And I don't even think I got the whole story out of my mouth before my dad turned around, walked outside. I'm looking out my bedroom window. He walks outside to the playground, grabs the brother by the back of his neck, carries him in the house, brings him in the house to my room, and set him down in my door, and made him apologize to me. And the boy was scared. Like, of course, this guy, you know, this big burly man just goes and grabs him, right? So he brings him in, and he's standing. At this point, he's crying. So both of us are crying. And my dad tells him, "I'm apologizing to me." So he says sorry. And after he says sorry, my dad looked at him. He said, "If she ever comes in this house crying again, behind you or your behind you or your sisters again, I'ma kill you. And you go to the mother, I said it."
Right.
He ran out the house. Next thing, I don't know, I just remember, Lord, my mom is gonna be listening to this. I don't even think she knew this happened. So I remember the next day, or maybe a couple days later, I think he did go home and tell his mom that my dad said if he messed with me again, he was gonna kill him. Because the mother had left a note or something on the door, or she had called the police or got an order. It was something funky that happened. And I just remember I had went out with my dad, and we came back, and it was on the door, and he was so upset. And I knew it had something to do with them. But I don't know. Of course, I'm young, so I don't know what happened or whatever came of it. That was grown people's business. But that's what made them stop. My dad had to threaten them and say, "I'm gonna kill you if she leave her alone." And I was like, "You're a terrorist. You are a terrorist." And I tell people don't believe that I used to be bullied, but I really have a sensitivity to that, because there are some kids that used to do some really, really mean things to me. And when I see the news, and especially when I see these cases with these kids that are so young committing suicide because they don't know how to handle that, it really makes me sad. It really makes me sad.
Like, now, as you're a little bit older, you say, okay, I get it, people are mean, whatever, whatever. But when you're 10, when you're 8, you know, you don't understand why someone is picking on you, what that is. And they don't really have a good reason to pick on you. So it's not fair to, you know, to put up with that. They have stuff that they need to deal with, and they take it out on somebody smaller, you know, somebody weaker in whatever sense. So, you know, when you're a child, you don't understand that. And unfortunately, you know, we get, sometimes we still don't understand it as adults. Like, I'd be like, what?
But. Yeah, so we're going to go ahead and wrap it up for tonight. Not sure what we're going to talk about next week just yet, but but stay tuned, and as always, it's a pleasure talking to you ladies, and we'll be back next week. Your favorite cousins, follow us on Facebook, tell your friends about us, listen to us, give us your feedback.
You can email us at yourfavecousins@gmail.com if you have any questions or comments. And make sure you, you know, participate in our discussions on our Facebook page.
Yep. And if you participate in the discussions on the Facebook page, that's how we get our content. So, you know, hey, join the conversation. Join the party. And we'll talk to you next week.
See you later. Bye.